G'day and welcome to Oceanic Gaming Radio. How the frick you doing? Thank you so much for joining us yet again. Your weekly podcast where we talk all things video games, news, reviews, blue suede shoes. what else goes in there? Anyways, my name's Captain Perth at Capo. You can call me Capo. Great to have you here. Thank you for joining us again. And alongside me is Pavlich. And old Grizzly Gaming 86. Hope you're doing well, fellas. How are we?
Good, mate. Good. Hey, first thing I noticed about you, Captain, I didn't notice before, is you got a new headset on, mate.
I do. I bought a new headset. It's a HyperX. It's one of those ones that has 300 hours of battery life.
Have you tested it and timed it yet?
What, 300 hours?
Yes.
We're not going to find 300 hours, mate.
That's a long ass time. That's a lot of charge.
A
lot of charge.
I don't know how they do it. There must be some kind of magic voodoo kind of things going on. But it's good so far. I do think I need to get an extender just so the wireless is a little bit closer to where I'm at, because now I'm fully wireless. So I think there's a bit of interference cranking. So I just need to.
I tell you what, man. Wireless technology has come in a long way, hasn't it? I was talking about this with you a couple of days ago, and I saw you on the weekend, which we'll get to in a second. But I run a wireless mouse, wireless headset now, and definitely want to get a wireless keyboard. The less cables I have on my desk, the better, I think. But I feel like when wireless technology first came out, there was like the headsets in particular. There was a bit of like lag or quality loss, and maybe there is quality loss. But dang, the quality of life having a wireless
super
headset
negligible though, dude. Like, I mean, unless you're a super big audiophile and you like kind of trying to find out the exact hertz and frequency ranges that you're going to be getting from your headsets, you're not going to notice it, man. And this is a super comfy headset so far. I'm pretty happy with it. So. It's been good so far. HyperX I use a HyperX microphone, and now I'm using a HyperX headset. The only thing is, I just don't like all the red, but it was the only fucking color they had. So I was kind of hoping for maybe a black or something, but
that was one of the things that I actually really liked about the SteelSeries headset as well. Was the one thing that pisses me off about headsets is when they just have the mic there, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, mate.
Well, that's the thing. They've like this. If you're watching from home, you'll see that. I've got like a detachable microphone. Yeah. It's got a little like foam bobble on the end, which is good for your
detachable. A detachable penis. Yeah.
Yeah. Detachable penis. He's actually right.
Cap, I wanted to hear an update on the baby, mate. So
yeah. Well,
so tell me what's happening.
As of today, the baby's 29 weeks old. Mia's starting to look quite plump. As you do, as you progress through pregnancy, he's doing a lot of kicks and karate chops and all kinds of dastardly kind of actions within the womb and causing all kinds of damage to his mother. But
you're like three quarters of the way there, mate.
Dude, we're fucking so close. It's like crazy.
Time goes.
I think we've got like, what have we got? Like, I think they, like 10 weeks or something. I think our obstetrician was saying likes to get the babies out about 39 weeks. So they're just the right temperature.
Right amount of cooked. Dude, all of my girls were, Lily was 10 weeks. Joyce and Ada were both 9 weeks late. So,
Nine weeks late,
which is the most they let you go. Most they let you go. 9 weeks? Sorry, not 9 weeks. That's a fucking long time, Cap. Nine days.
Like,
nine weeks is a really long time.
It's like 2 months.
Dude, not 9 weeks.
Holy shit. Okay. That's good. That one's great. I don't know fuck all about pregnancy. I would have just accepted that to be knowledge.
I was like, okay, Chris, that's 9 weeks. Cool, mate,
9 weeks late is a potential. That's pretty crazy. But anyway, okay. Well, 9 days is still a fair bit, but
I think they let you go 10 days, like latest now before they induce.
They gotta pull them out.
Jazz. Yeah, pull them out.
Pull them out. Well, I'm out, but we've actually got a scan on Wednesday, which is also my birthday, by the way. So I hope all of you guys at home have got me a present.
How many beers are we drinking, Cap? What's happening?
Well,
you haven't
I'm
invited
off the beers
me to your
moment.
Party yet, mate. You haven't invited me to your party. What's going on there?
I'm not having one, mate. Mate, it's 31, so it's kind of a nothing year. Okay. I don't know. I'll probably play some Dota or something as a celebration. I'm sure you'll be there.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good, mate. Dang, man. That's cool.
We've got a scan on the Wednesday morning, so that'll be a good little birthday present. You know, see the little tacker, how he's going in there. But yeah, so that's going to be fucking good. But now, Grizz, tell me about you. What's new?
Well, I wanted to say that those of you at home may have heard that Cap and I had a Dungeons & Dragons game starting. Oh. We had our first session on Saturday, Cap.
We did have our first session. We did indeed. Excellent.
Yeah, it was awesome. I have only ever played like one shots and like little bits and pieces. So starting a campaign with a character level one and enjoying kind of writing a backstory and meeting my team and everything else. But yeah, very, very cool. Having a good time. Without giving away too much, my name is Cardell and I'm a deep gnome rogue. I'm also a leather worker as well. That's kind of my work, the leather. Yep. Very cool.
My character is a human warlock, probably about as base level as you can fucking get in terms of being a human. The guys were like, what does your guy look like? I was like, he's just like a fucking NPC. He's like, he's so basic.
Normal looking.
Brown hair, looks super normal. Yeah, his name's Arnold Autumnless because that was a cool name that I got generated randomly. I was like, yeah, that'll do.
Arnold. Yeah.
Arnold. Yeah, and he froths cool. over scrolls, loves a good scroll. Not cinnamon scroll, physical paper fucking tapestry scrolls.
So we do have a session coming up soon, but maybe we'll give you guys a little update with how we're going on the next session and keep you in the loop.
Yeah, we'll let you know. The reason being we had to do one early just to get Pete involved because he was working nights and otherwise it just wasn't right. work. So, yeah, anyways. But, yeah, so D&D's been good. Now, Grizz, have you been doing much gaming recently? And if so, what have you been playing?
Oh, dude, not really, to be honest, Cap. I've kind of saying this to Pav.
It's tabletop. Like,
yeah, tabletop. I've been playing a bit of stuff with my daughter. I've been playing a bit of Stardew Valley. I've actually been rocking some Magic the Gathering as well, Arena.
Oh, so you have been pumping a bit of that?
Yeah, dude.
I downloaded that on my phone.
I made a wolf deck, and it's like so much fun. Holy shit. I tell you what, man. I think in terms of the card games that I've played, from Hearthstone to Gwent and everything else in between that I've played to date, I think Magic the Gathering Arena does it right.
It's the classic though, isn't it? You know, it's like the staple. I mean, as long as you don't mind a bit of complexity and you know, there is a fair bit of complexity. And I'm sure that those other card games have kind of moved with the times and slowly sort of garnered more and more complexity as well. But I think, you know, Magic the Gathering has always been the staple kind of card game, right? It's always been
The thing that I like about it, Cap, is the continual update of new cards coming through and new kind of mechanics for each set. I think it keeps the game quite refreshing. Where I actually find when I went back to play Hearthstone, the game had barely changed in terms of the meta and stuff and the cards and bits and pieces that were happening between the classes. And I think Magic just doesn't have that. It's so, like I've just saying, I built a wolf deck and you know, I've got my Planeswalker is like a werewolf and there's this like night mechanic where you can shift it between day and night and your werewolves will get heaps stronger in the nighttime. And just quite cool. Quite cool.
Very freaking radical. Well, I don't think I haven't played an awful lot of games either, to be quite honest. I read a lot of the D&D Players Handbook. That was good.
Yeah.
That was good fun. And other than that, I heard about this game called Gordian Quest. I mean, I heard about it through another podcast that I listened to. Shout out to the Core podcast. They're a bunch of fucking legends as well. Definitely go and give them a listen because they make some incredibly good content. Similar kind of Core Core, with Scott Johnson, Beau Schwartz, and John Jagger. They've been doing it for a long time. They just fucking nail the gaming podcast.
Are they Aussies, Cap, as well? The Aussies as
no,
well?
No, American guys. Okay. Beau, I think, is Canadian. But, so not all American. Sorry, Beau, if you're listening. Probably not, but it's still.
You never know.
So I heard about this game through their podcast, and it kind of was presented to me as kind of like a Slay the Spire kind of adjacent game. It's a deck builder, but Seems like, so I'm not super far in, but it was kind of sold to me as like, your aim is to kind of make your deck smaller because it becomes more self-contained and a bit easier to manage. And okay. I thought that sounded fucking great because I hate building up big fucking decks of cards and I just think it's cumbersome and annoying. But the cool thing is like this Gordian Quest. So it's got like a lot of like RPG mechanics and elements attached to it. It's probably a lot more kind of story driven and RPG ish than
it has,
something like Slayer Spire.
It has a card / unit placement in it, doesn't it?
There's, yeah, so they have lanes and positions within lanes, and that obviously, you know, relates to, you know, damage done and you know, blocking and, you know, depending on what's in what sort of area, who will take damage and who won't. But it's really good so far, really, really good. It seems like they've actually got some pretty interesting late-game stuff as well where they essentially have rifts and stuff.
Dang.
And you can
do it
as a roguelite.
Dude, I'm going to have to get it because I'm hunting for a new roguelite right now.
Should give it a crack, man. The art style's really fucking good. I think they execute it really nicely. I think it's so far it's been pretty well balanced. I think I've only had one character die, but I found that battle to be quite difficult, but not overbearingly so, which is nice because I think difficulty is always a tough one to get in these kinds of games. Like either you blitz through it, it's just fucking easy as shit, or you know, they seem to get the difficulty curve right and you kind of
it's,
get through
it's
the game.
Really hard to get right, man.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's you know, you will play games along, you know, your gaming career and you'll just go like, man, this is fucking boring because there's just no decent difficulty curve. And then like if you then turn it into hard, it becomes a, you know, Mount Everest of just, you know, can't be fucked. But you know, unless you're a Dark Souls, you know, Soulsborne, where that's kind of your shtick. But I don't know. I think, especially in RPG systems, it's very difficult to get the numbers of, well, the mathematics of difficulty correct. But it's been a really good game so far, and I've thoroughly enjoyed my time with it. The other game I wanted to give a crack was Stray, but I just never got to it this weekend, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, that's on my radar too. It's been popping off on the socials, and we do have that on the run sheet today to talk about a bit later, don't we, Cap?
Yeah, we'll have a bit of a chat about Stray, but I believe it's free on the deluxe edition of the PSN, which is the middle tier and upwards.
Oh my
God. For a freebie, which I have, so I probably should make the most of my fucking subscription and not just waste my money.
yeah, sounds like a good idea, man. Do that.
Anyways, Chris, sounds like we both had a fucking good weekend. Well done there, kudos. And look, let's dive in. Now, before we do anything, just want to do our usual and thank our wonderful, wonderful Patreons, all of which are actively helping us generate income to get this podcast, you know, looking real tip top and tidy. So
lots
really
of them are in the chat
guys.
Tonight, so it's nice to see your faces.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really good to see you all. But again, thank you, Sukai, Moosey, Hoen Honey, Caging Runt, and Sergeant Paul. You guys fucking rock. Hopefully I didn't check the Patreon before we started this episode, so hopefully no one else has jumped in there. But if you are out there and you're a Patreon, thank you as well. And if you would like to become a Patreon and help support, you know, this little, you know, ragtag band of podcasters, you can do so by just jumping on patreon.com and looking up Oceanic Gaming Radio, or look in the description of this podcast and, you'll probably find us. What were you laughing at?
I'm laughing at because Pav has used your green screen to make your room pink on the Twitch.
What in the Twitch? Fuck? Oh, yeah.
Nice pink room, nerd.
Cool.
What do you like, Barbies?
Yeah, Barbies are fucking rad. All right. So now what have we got on the agenda for tonight, Chris? Do you want to run us through what we've got?
Yeah, of course, mate. Yeah, we're going to be talking about the new Warframe game called Soulframe. It's going to be another open world-ish MMO. Pretty excited to talk about that one. Discord is coming to Xbox. Saint Row 4 preview, a new preview is out, so we'll talk a bit about that. Once again, we're going to be giving the old bird to NFTs by talking a bit about some Minecraft.
Back into the fucking saucepan, Grizzly, with the NFT. Stroganoff, mate, that no one was saying.
We're going to have a bit more of a yarn about the current state of NFTs and some recent news involving Minecraft, Capo. And then we'll be talking a little bit about some other monetization practices, particularly around loot boxes and kind of how different governments in different countries are fighting the loot box. So a bit of a yarn about that. Assassin's Creed, bit of news on Assassin's Creed, and then Ubisoft delays across the board. We forgot to do the poll this week. I put one up today, so we maybe we'll have a quick chat about that and then into the quick fire. That's what we got on the agenda today.
It's a bit of a last-minute fucking poll as well. You're going to look forward to that one. Trust me, ladies and gentlemen, listening at home. And then obviously we got the quick fire. You know, can't forget the quick fire, mate. That's a bloody important part of this bloody this fine establishment that we've got here.
We cannot forget the quick fire.
Let's fucking jump straight in, Grizz. All right, so Soulframe. Soulframe has recently been announced as, well, the creators of Warframe. They've announced Soulframe as their next game they've been working on. Now, Grizz, I believe you were telling me it's been 13 years since Warframe came out, and this is the only game that these guys have. Is that correct?
So 2013, so what's that?
9 years. What did I say?
Yeah, like 10 years, something like that. Yeah.
Now, that to give people context, like I remember when Warframe first came out, and that was the same time as Destiny 1, before Destiny 1, in fact. And
is that right?
When it first hit, it was fucking shit. I remember playing it and thinking, oh, this could be a good little, you know, tide me over until Destiny 1 comes out. And, well, at the time it was just Destiny because we didn't have Destiny 2 on the horizon, obviously. But, yeah, it was fucking garbage. But obviously they put a lot of love and effort into this.
Yeah, well, the devs that have been on this project have been there since the start, Cap. And I just wanted to just jump in and see what the Steam charts were like for the current players across the board.
For
Warframe. Service that we talk about, things like Destiny and others, they have had a really competitive market share for the last 10 years now, since 2013. I mean, they've had a lot at the start, but they peaked at around 154 current players in 2019. It's still holding a current average daily player base of 91,000 now. So still kicking those goals, mate. Yeah, 10-year-old game, man. Dang.
Yeah, dude. And I'd imagine they'd be making a fair bit of money because I think the whole... It's all free to play, obviously, and I think you buy the frames or and there's probably other components that you buy. Yeah. I'm not a huge... I tried Warframe once upon a time, but, yeah, just couldn't quite get in there.
Pav is the man to talk to here, but I actually... Yeah. Do you want to hear a funny story, Cap? The way I met Pav was when I was streaming Warframe. You know how I used to go through these different waves of being like, yeah, I'm going to become a Warframe streamer. I'm going to become a Dark Souls streamer.
Oh, I'm fully aware of your whims.
So I was like, I'm going to become a Warframe streamer. And I like put in like 2 months into this game. And dude, it's a free-to-play game. And I felt that the like monetization model on it was really well designed. So basically you could buy these kind of blueprints for a currency that you could buy blueprints for frames. Or you can just work to get currency in-game and then you can buy the blueprints for frames and then you can kind of create them and blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I never felt like I needed to spend any in-game money to get the shit that I wanted. But for me, dude, it was just a grind. It was the MMO grind, just a different flavor of it. So it was like just similar to the way that we do on other MMO games. But, yeah, generally, dude, like a great game and it's highly regarded.
Well, Pav is saying... that generally you only really pay for cosmetics only or to speed up the grind, which not really pay to win, I suppose, because everyone can obviously grind to get the gear, but you might you might argue that some people are going to get that gear faster than others, which, you know, I mean, that's just how it do be like that. But I don't know. For me, I mean, people at home have never really heard of Warframe or know what it is. I guess it's kind of like a futuristic shooter in the similar vein to Destiny, but much more twitchy and fast-paced, I would say, and obviously got its own lore and aesthetic kind of going on. But, I mean, these guys have done some incredible stuff with the game. Like, they've added all kinds of weird and wonderful shit.
Yeah,
like they added
fishing in it. Is that music
which I wouldn't have really thought would have suited the kind of, I don't know, game aesthetic, but, I mean, they fucking made it work. And they also added fucking Guitar Hero.
Which
that's... Crazy,
now,
great idea.
Have you looked at Soulframe at all? Have you had a look at what it looks like?
And so, yeah, I mean, I've looked at what they've offered in terms of, you know, just the trailer that's come out recently. So the reveal trailer, it's about almost a 6-minute video, kind of I guess, gives you a bit of an intro into the world. It's fairly non-committal on exactly what the game is. It's kind of like a cinematic trailer. I mean, obviously, it gives you an idea of like kind of what aesthetic they're going for and the style of the game. Mm. Seems like, to give people a sort of rough overview for those who haven't really seen it, it kind of looks like they've kind of brought Warframe into like a more druidic, sage, mysticism kind of realm. A lot of animals involved, like kind of thinking of, like a lot of sort of Native American animal iconography and stuff like that. And but they've kind of mixed it up with kind of almost this, not quite samurai, but kind of like almost like not steampunk, but almost like.
So you're into anime, aren't you, Cap?
Sorry? Yes.
You're into anime. You know Princess Mononoke?
Yes, it definitely got a similar vibe. Absolutely.
So I found a interview with the devs, and they basically said, very similar. So the game will focus on themes of nature and restoration and adventure, inspired by worlds like Princess Mononoke and The Neverending Story, and specifically the collision between industry and nature. So you kind of see that in the trailer a little bit.
Definitely getting that in the trailer.
They reckon that it's a melee game, whereas Warframe is a more of a ranged, very fast paced shooter. They're saying that the combat's quite slowed down and your movement's quite slowed down and a bit more methodical and thought about.
Now, I think I saw somewhere that not that they explicitly are taking inspiration from Dark Souls and Soulsborne games, but I think that I think you'd be not an idiot, but I think you would probably be cutting yourself short by not kind of tapping into, what the hotness is at the moment. And I think a lot of people would suggest that, that Soulsborne methodical combat is pretty hot right now. Look at fucking Elden Ring. We've all fucking discussed it thousands of times. I mean, you don't sell fucking almost 14 million copies of a game and the combat system be fucking garbage. So it seems like they're sort of maybe going to be taking a bit of influence from there. It looks like, magic and mysticism kind of stuff going on. There was this part in the trailer where he kind of clicks his fingers and the sound that reverberates, I thought was super rad. I don't know, like I did some cool sort of force push away and then did some cool thing where he turned all of these enemies into stone. But and there's also like, about almost half the trailer, this guy is partially naked. Have you noticed that, Chris?
Yeah, I love it.
It's like it's Rust 2.0, mate.
Yeah, Rust 2.0.
Just got his ass hanging out the whole time.
On the Elden Ring thing, Cap, so in this same article I found Sinclair, who is one of the devs. Oh, interesting, before I jump into this, so the two devs, Cap, that worked on Soulframe from Day Dot have actually moved off, on Warframe from Day Dot, have moved off Warframe completely. Soulframe.
And so they're like
now
full-on senior, big head honcho kind of game dev guys, which, I mean, that's going to be really good. I mean, let's be honest. Obviously, these guys would want to try and generate a bit of hype because Warframe has a really strong community, right? Like they've even got their own like BlizzCon-esque kind of thing that they do every year, which is where this reveal trailer was announced. The Tenno Live event, I believe, Tenno Con is what they normally call it. But it would make a lot of sense to try and obviously garner a little bit of excitement by having these legendary devs that these people love and appreciate so much.
Absolutely.
Because they've worked on their favorite IP, right?
And we're talking about this before the show, but being able to take in what they've learned from seeing Warframe from Day Dot go from this average shooter trying to compete up against Destiny into something that is pulling average numbers well beyond many others that have come out kind of after its release is going to be great for their learning. But I just want to, there's a quote here that I want to read out on the Elden Ring factor, Cap, from Sinclair, who's one of the guys that came across.
The Ring factor, as I like to call it.
The Ring factor, yeah. So Elden Ring has absolutely been a subject of some conversation, maybe to do with the camera, maybe to do with the combat pacing. And, screw those guys, because goddamn, Elden Ring was fantastic.
And it's nice to see, like, we did have that moment in time where we had some of those devs that were sort of getting uppity about the success of Elden Ring, saying it's not even that good, man.
Yeah.
Mate, it's not even that fucking good. Fucking shit. Fucking UI sucks. Fucking game fucking sucks. Fucking shit game. It's like, yeah, well, you make a fucking better game than you, loser. But yeah, I don't know. It's just nice to see people, like, I don't know, just be like, yeah, fucking good job. And so they should. Why not? Like, you know, if you can create a game that I guess is minimalist in some aspects but still manages to you know, still kick a few goals, yeah, why not fucking give a few thumbs up and go, good job, mate.
So, Cap, yeah, from what you've seen here, in my perspective, mate, hearing and seeing the trailer, seeing that this is going to be a melee, slower-paced game with potentially some inspiration taken from Elden Ring, it'll probably be free to play if they follow the same path they've gone down for Warframe, an MMO. And I know that Pav can probably confirm this, but I know that Warframe's kind of in the most recent couple of patches have gone more open worldy and less linear. So,
yep,
in my mind, if they're doing all this stuff in this game, this is definitely something that I would be keen to check out.
Oh, absolutely, dude. I guess if they can just watch the monetization, I don't know what's changed with Warframe in terms of ownership over time. Like, as I guess the only thing I'd be worried about is maybe if there had been any change of ownership in that company over time. Again, I vaguely remember maybe there being some stake bought out by someone shitty, but maybe I'm just thinking someone else. Anyways, dude,
do you see Microsoft or Sony going for this IP, mate? Like, is this one that we've kind of fallen off the radar that be a potentially good acquisition?
Maybe. I'm not entirely sure. I mean, they do a pretty good job. They've done a really good job with Warframe. I mean, maybe. I mean, if they're up for sale, potentially. But I don't know. Maybe they could be. Because we're still, as far as we're aware, Sony still has some stuff cocked in the gun that they're ready to fire off that they haven't really spoken about yet. I mean, obviously they had to finalize the Bungie sale and the Haven sale with Jade Raymond and her team. But yeah, I mean, there definitely could be some other stuff in the works. I mean, I was positive that they would buy out From Software. I was just hoping for it. Please buy them. Make Bloodborne 2. Please fix Bloodborne 1 and make it 60 FPS. Come on. But that didn't quite happen. And maybe it's in the works. I don't know. But I mean, I can only imagine the asking price for From Software at the moment. I mean, imagine after releasing Elden Ring and then having these talks to the studio. You're like, actually, mate, the price has gone up by a couple of $1 billion. Yeah. So,
it's exactly what it would be. It must be like triple their fucking. I wonder what their share price was before and after Elden Ring. I'd love to know.
No idea. Should have a look. It'd have to be massive, wouldn't it? But yeah, I mean, overall, Grizz, I definitely agree. I think Soulframe, it's, I mean, again, I have tried Warframe. It just wasn't quite for me. Again, I know we keep likening it to Destiny, and it's absolutely not anything like Destiny. It's definitely its own sort of game. I guess similar kind of game tropes and similar sort of game cycle, but ultimately they are very different games. But I do use them as a comparative just because they exist in a similar space of games as a service. But it just didn't quite sing to me. I think I'd played a lot of Destiny at that stage, and I think the shooting for Destiny was a little bit more slower paced, which I kind of worked a bit better for me. Maybe I don't have a zoomer brain like you and Pav.
Dude, Warframe is so fast, and I actually felt like when I played it, like, you do a mission and it just all happens before your eyes, and all of a sudden you're kind of like somewhere doing something. It happens so quick, man.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Even
I remember playing the first mission, I was just like, what the fuck is going on?
You're like a space ninja, dude. You're just like ninja around the place.
I mean, it's cool. It looks really, really rad, but I mean,
maybe this one would be better, a bit slowed down, Cap.
And that's what I'm saying, Grizz. I think this is exactly what I would want. And I mean, the art style, I think I'm pretty keen on. How, you know, obviously it's an MMO. The big thing for me will be, how do they share the persistent world, or is, you know, persistence in general with other players? Is it, I don't know, is it compelling? How does it look? And that's something we don't quite know yet, right?
Because apparently all we have they're cinematic. Really good with their player base, Cap, and they really listen to their community. One more tidbit that I just wanted to pull away from this interview with Sinclair and Crooks, the two devs on this, is they've got asked the question, why announce it now when there's hardly anything to show for it? You've got a small trailer. not much about it. And he kind of said, yeah, look, it's a bit of a meme when companies reveal games vaguely like this. And it just makes me think of Sonic in my head, that fucking CGI trail. Yeah. It's a piece of shit. Yeah. With a few concrete details they have, it came down to wanting to be upfront with their players around the expectation for the game. So I think that says a lot as well, coming from a studio. Having your players in mind, know what your audience is and catering for them.
Absolutely.
It's good.
Yeah. I think, do you know what though, Grizz? I want to see more companies make more trailers like this and just not show an awful lot, because I really do feel like these days, when it comes to trailers and stuff, we fucking know everything about a game before that game even hits the shelves, dude. And it's the same with movies and stuff like that. I feel like we have this like advert bombardment with video games, because obviously they want to build up, generate hype and stuff. So they show you every little fucking thing that you could do in the game, to the point where when the game comes out, there's just nothing to look forward to. You know what I mean?
Agree, dude. Even people getting like pre-release copies of it and playing it on Twitch and stuff like that. Like, if you really wanted to, you can spoil almost a whole game or a lot of the content.
I hate to do it again. I'm going to fucking do it again, though. I think Elden Ring did a fucking ripper job of not giving too much away.
Yeah.
You know, they did two CGI trailers and one major gameplay trailer before it released. And then, you know, with release did a story and other gameplay trailer. And I'm telling you right now, that's the way to fucking do it. If you need to over-explain your game, there's probably something wrong with your game. And I'm going to actually have this exact same stance with Saints Row when we talk about that today. Because, yeah, fucking brutal. Also, we should get an Elden Ring counter in this fucking thing. And every time we say the word Elden Ring, it just goes, ding!
Cat,
he said Elden Ring 5 times.
Your room looks so hilarious, dude. You seen that, man? You got like a little
looking at it now. Yeah, I'm liking it, dude. I want that IRL. It looks really
not
good.
Bad. That's
But for those listening at home, actually, this is a good little segue. If you'd like to, and you're currently listening via podcast, we stream every Monday night from 7 p.m. ish AWST. That's Australian Western Standard Time. So do the math in your own time zone. But, if you want to come and watch this live and see Pav turn my green screen into whatever the hell he feels like, you can do that every Monday. Come in and say good day. Come and jump in the chat and talk with some lovely people such as Sukai AU, Pav Loverface, who is obviously also, I was just literally reading right here and I was like, Pav Loverface. Caging Runt, Debiru Man TV, legend. Ho and Honey. Who else we got in here?
Lee GD.
Llamafight is in here as well.
Second time returning stream for Lee GD. He's on a roll. Two times.
Love to see it. But yeah, we've got a bunch of wonderful people in here. So you're always welcome. Come and freaking hang out. But yeah, anyways, back to the podcast. So, Grizz, that's Soul Frame. Now, obviously, Soul Frame will probably come to the Xbox, Grizz. And you know what the best thing is? You're going to be able to play Soul Frame whilst using Discord natively on your Xbox.
Can I tell you something about this, Cap?
Yep.
I was fucking surprised that Discord wasn't already on Xbox. In fact, I thought it was already on Xbox, dude.
Dude, I think PS5's only had, PlayStation has only had Discord for a little while as well. So they're bringing out the native Discord app for you. And I mean, it makes sense, Grizz, because I think a lot of these companies really wanted you to use their infrastructure and their party chat for so long, and then they just went, fuck it, we cannot compete with Discord. I think so,
Xbox, Microsoft would have been well aware with how many people are running Discord on their PCs to run chat. You know, gone are the days of TeamSpeak and Skype, mate. Interesting. Yeah.
But I mean, a lot of people, that I know that play on consoles and stuff, they would have Discord in one ear and the game in the other ear, because they'd be playing off their phone or something and hanging out with mates that way. So, they've finally gotten it together and they now have it natively. So, I mean, all you need to do is just link your Discord account to your Xbox and then you can try the Discord voice.
I was a little bit like, how is this going to work? Is it clunky? Am I going to have to run like Discord in the background and have it in a separate app and kind of like tab? You know how you press the PlayStation key? I've never used it, so I was just assuming this is what you'd do to adjust audio. But from that article you linked, It looks like it's really well integrated in the games. Like it's just an overlay and you can tweak volumes and stuff and bits and pieces.
Yeah, I was having a bit of a look at it as well, and I actually thought it looked really nice. It's pretty simple, but, I just think in general, the way that they've implemented the overlay, like you said, it just suits the style of Xbox and just sits in there nicely, tucked away, press the little button, and I assume the overlay juts out and then you can, do whatever you need to.
Talking about this, Cap, do you remember the days when Discord wasn't around and we had TeamSpeak and Skype?
Yep.
Shit those days were, man.
Skype was garbage.
Yeah, Skype was the kind of app that you would be like, if your phone ran out of credit, it'd be the one that your mum would have and you'd call her on Skype to use the internet from McDonald's, mate. That's what it was like.
Even TeamSpeak or Trello, you remember Trello?
Oh, Trello, yeah.
Yeah, that was another one. That kind of had channels and stuff. But, Discord really has been the first major platform to really, I think, do voice properly.
But also be
able to kind of integrate it in a way that you can kind of build communities and stuff, which I think is really smart.
Yeah, dude, it really broke the back for streamers, I think, and content creators in general, being able to curate, have a one-stop shop for your community where you can engage outside of
probably timed really well, though, Grizz, because Discord kind of came out at that time when I think Twitch was really pumping and taking off, and these smaller streamers were sort of making a bit more of an impact globally, just being able to build communities and that you didn't have to rely on these bigger streamers that have been going for years and years, your ninjas and stuff. And I think Twitch obviously opened the gates to small. Discord sort of came around and gave you an option to build a community and do it really well and with some unbelievably useful tools with voice and chat channels and everything else.
Yeah. Just on the note of Discord, we do have a Discord, Cap, don't we? Oceanic Gamer Radio.
We do. Yeah,
you'll be able to find a link to that in any of her descriptions. Link
you can go and open that bad boy up on your fucking Xbox Series X and type something, erotic or something in the
Believe it or not, Cap, there is actually a channel in there where you can give us suggestions for content on this here podcast. So encourage you to go in there and say good day.
Yeah. Do it. Actually, do you know what I was thinking about, Grizz? This is a bit of a random fucking segue, but I'm wondering if we're kind of at the stage where we can, like with this podcast, where we can start asking people to send us emails. You know what I mean? Are we there yet?
Yeah, we should have a business email, 100%. Isn't that one of the first things you should do? Do we have a business email? What is it?
OceanicGamingRadio@gmail.com.
No, if anyone wants to send us any emails, pictures of your pets. Yeah,
nothing rude. Pets. But even just a question you want us to talk about on, we could start doing a segment if we actually got some questions. So if people want to send us questions, we'll open those bad boys up at the end of the show and
we love bitching about NFTs and crypto recently, don't we?
NFTs. Non-fungible donkeys. So there you go. you said it, not me. Now I had a link in here for some fucking interesting shit about Discord, just how much money it makes these days. And where the fuck did I find that? Here we go. Grizzly. Discord has raised $479 million total in funding. Because I don't even know if it's public. I think it's. I don't think it has a stock price linked to it directly. So, I think they did rounds of funding, from what I understand.
That's quite a lot of dollars, Cap. Isn't it?
But the valuation currently is almost $4 billion.
Yeah, right. They've got the market share across the board, like even the Discord partners and all that stuff. And
I mean, because I was like, in my mind, I was like, man, after this was announced, their stock price must have shot straight up. But I couldn't really find anything regarding stock prices. But I do know that they've made a reasonable amount of headway with funding and whatnot. And I'm just looking at their users over time. So July 2016, 11 million. December that same year, 25 million. May the following year, 45 million. And then if we skip to May 2019, 250 million. They just went fucking whoop.
But bang. I tell you what, I reckon what would paint a similar story, Cap, is Teams. When COVID hit, Teams, mate. Yeah. Holy shit.
Actually, good point. Yeah, absolutely.
I think, probably these types of things, chat channels and stuff in general, when COVID hit and everyone was isolated from home, would have definitely helped grow those markets out a little bit, I'd say, mate.
Absolutely, my friend. But yeah, so Discord now available on most of your major consoles. It'll be interesting to see if Nintendo Switch ever does anything. I doubt it, though. I just don't know if we'd be able to multitask Discord with video games.
Yeah.
Unless you buy the, okay, this is the kind of fucking Nintendo fucking thing they do, is they buy a separate attachment that is like a like an overlay, like it, you know those Game Boy things? It was like a magnifying glass for your yep. Game Boy. Like yep. One of those things that like flips over the top of your Game Boy and it's a Discord physical overlay.
Dude, I don't reckon the Switch could run fucking Discord and
no, games. I don't think so
time.
Either, dude. I reckon it'd be too much. I reckon it'd be way too much for it. Yeah. I mean, think about it. It can barely, like, again, and I bring this up all the time, is like the first time I ever played Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild and I went into the Forest of Time and found the Master Sword, the game was like a fucking PowerPoint presentation. It was like what's his name?
Dude, I've noticed Stardew Valley fucking doesn't run that well either on the Switch.
That's right.
There's moments like when I'm changing between areas and it's like, has this real big, like big staggery bit. Yeah.
Do you know what's funny? Is like in development, I'm sure they're like, oh man, we got to try and fix this. And then they just went, there's no way we're going to fix this.
Yeah, we're going to fix it by putting a new CPU and some 12 gigs of RAM and graphics card. But who cares, man? You know what? I saw a real funny TikTok the other day about a guy who was like, oh, yeah, I finally got my PlayStation 5. I'm so excited to play all these games and stuff. And there's a guy sitting there playing his Switch. And he's like, oh, what are you playing there? And he's like, oh, I'm playing something. And then it's like, it's just because there's so many games on the Switch, man. There's everything on it. It is a great platform and there's a lot to do on
there. But it's kind of hitting that... that Steam issue where they just have garbage on there as well. Like, I don't know if you've seen some of the new releases that get put onto the Switch, man, but some of it is fucking horrible.
What is
this doing on there? Are you guys doing any QAQC when this stuff gets fucking added? It's gross.
You can pretty much put whatever you want. I think the Steam store is Steam.
It's a shame because, I mean, it's a good and a bad thing, I suppose, because you kind of enable more indie kind of developers to get their game on. And I mean, not every game looks amazing, but some of it is just such low-hanging bullshit, like, you know, made this in a weekend on Unity and just chucked it on the Switch store and it's absolutely
garbage. Sonic Frontiers.
Oh. Hey, I reckon that game might be okay.
I've got faith in it. Don't worry. I'm keen.
All right. Now, a game I don't have so much faith in, Grizz, is Saints Row, the newest Saints Row game. Now, have you had a bit of a look at this?
Yeah, I thought it looked all right, mate. I like the flying with the wings.
It's so uninspired and fucking boring.
Well, this is the thing, Cap, though, and I don't know whether this is your and I personality coming through, but I'm not a fan of GTA. Like, none of this shit literally is boring. Like, I will never buy one of these games. It's just not for me. No. And maybe some people would like it, but I'm a simpleton, mate. Give me this, what they've designed here for Saints Row, flying around in a wingsuit, but give me Neverwinter Nights, like fucking an elf druid flying around on a dragon.
Yeah, I'm the same,
all this
man.
Stuff, and I'd be like, yeah, this is sick, but just doesn't hit it for me.
Well, I can appreciate the amount of work that's obviously gone into this, and just to kind of give people an overview of what Saints Row is, it's kind of this like... You kind of play like an anti-hero almost that, you know, it's kind of a GTA-style game. You kind of, I don't know, it's kind of a little bit larger than life. There's kind of a lot of just weird and wonderful shit that goes on in that game. Your character's a little bit like superhero-ish, but not quite. But yeah, anyway, so to kind of give you I've only played one of these games. I played it for about 5 minutes. Went there. Nah.
What number did you play, Cap? Do you remember?
I think it was 2. I think my brother had it from memory.
Is it similar to GTA or not really?
Well, this new one definitely is very similar to GTA. But those earlier games, I didn't think really were. They were kind of a bit more sandboxy. But this game definitely looks like more in the vein of GTA. And I think probably good timing because people are pining for another GTA game at the moment. When's GTA what are that for?
Six?
One of them. I have no idea, but anyways, the previews have started to flow out for Saints Row, which is this game's kind of like a re
reboot, I guess, of the franchise. They kind of wanted to start afresh and give you a kind of new reason to give the games a crack. I guess they kind of try and leverage a lot of comedy in this game as well. And
That's one thing that stood out to me is they're going hard on this comedy take. And Cap, I know that you've got an opinion on comedy and gaming in general. What are your thoughts on how this is delivered?
I just think comedy is insanely difficult to pull off in video games generally. You think about games like, you know, Monkey Island and stuff like that, and just the way they implement their jokes or did. They kind of exist in this weird space where if you try too hard to do comedy, it's going to show and it's not going to be funny and it's just going to be annoying and
cringe.
Yeah, all through cringe, yeah. The entire preview of this, I was just thinking, oh God, you know, like I can't even imagine having to be a voice actor on this shit. It was just so fucking cringy. But again, I know some people are going to like this shit. And if it's for you, that's fucking awesome. I don't know. Just a lot about this game just did not inspire me at all. It just looked boring. It just didn't look like
there
was an
awful lot of interesting stuff. Do you also think that they have played all of their cards here, Cap, in terms of a trailer? You kind of led into this previous saying Elden Ring did great at releasing two little snippets, basically. Very little gameplay in both of those. And it was just to draw hype around the game. I feel like we've seen everything that you can see in Saints Row.
It's important to know that so it's a little bit different because these previews are coming from like journalist outlets. So, you know, your IGNs and stuff like that. So if they get told you can show this much of the game, they will show every single little fucking part. And they really have like, they're kind of showing like all the different takedowns and stuff you can do and you know, here's the gunplay and the combat, and you can, you know, put a grenade on someone and throw them back into their mates to blow them up. I don't know, dude. It's just, do you know what, Grizz, and I've said it before, I just hate this fucking edgy edgelord humor where they just say stupid shit all the time, and it's just like edgy protagonist does edgy thing and has edgy, funny, you know, memey text that they talk, and it's just, oh man, I'm over it.
Dude, doesn't do it.
I don't know. It's just shit. And again,
This may come down to being mainstream stuff, Cap, and maybe mainstream doesn't.
Maybe the kids like this, Grizz. I don't know.
Maybe they do.
Well, I'm not the kids anymore. Yeah. You know, I'm the Steve Buscemi, you know, with fucking skateboard. How are you, fellow kids?
Dude, I must also admit, fuck, I don't listen to Triple J anymore. I just can't hack.
Yeah, neither. Neither.
Just can't hack the presenters, mate.
Mate, you know what I listen to, Grizz? I listen to the fucking Yacht Rock playlist on Spotify every day of the week, and it's the best playlist that has ever existed. Love it.
I think it's definitely us then, Cap.
Yeah, I think it might be us, mate. Well, kids at home, you're gonna love Saints Row 4. It's really good humor. Some of the best jokes I've ever fucking heard. It definitely will sort of turn some people on. I know there's a lot of people that love the GTA equation, and I think this kind of hits that. You know, even the car stuff, like, you know, them driving around in vehicles through all the different kind of landscapes and city stuff. It's just so GTA. It's not funny. So I think, honestly, probably nailed it with the timing again. You know, people are actively really waiting for some GTA stuff to come out ASAP because, you know, it's been a while between GTA games. But, yeah, Saints Row.
Saints Row, baby.
Who knows? Will it be good? Don't know. I don't think so. Anyways, all right. Now, Grizz, a game that is good, Minecraft. Great game. Brilliant game. Very well made. And it has way shitter graphics than Saints Row, and it's so good. But I'll tell you what, they've done something that's made me go, fuck, you guys are great. You guys are just fucking
legends.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Minecraft has come out recently and said that they will not support any integrations of NFTs within Minecraft. And just in general, it's not something they want to support or allow. Which basically is kind of how it is anyway at the moment, because they haven't supported NFTs, and there's not really a NFT kind of implementation with with Minecraft, but there are people who have created, so what were they called? NFT Worlds or some shit.
Yeah.
So
NFT Worlds, exactly. Yeah. And so it comes down to, well, Minecraft is open source, isn't it, Cap? So you can take stuff and use assets and bits and pieces to do things.
Yeah. They're in a weird space for that. I don't know if they're exactly open source, but I mean, I know you can obviously mod the game and they allow that, but for the most part, they own the intellectual property and they'll tell you what you can and can't do with that game. So, I mean, you can't really, I mean, you can, but you probably won't go and change.
I just thought I'd let you know, Cap, when you stand a bit far away from your mic, you got a noise gate that pretty much cuts you out. So I just thought I'd let you know, mate, just be mindful of that.
I'm coming straight back in, baby. But yeah, so NFTs. So they basically said no, which is good. I like that. I like that a lot. But the big thing is there's some people who don't like that, Chris, and it's quite hilarious how salty these guys got. So
yeah.
NFT Worlds, now, if I'm not mistaken, these guys, they actually resale NFTs for Minecraft.
I've got a real good description here, Capo, of it.
Smash it, yep, mate.
NFT Worlds is a fully decentralized, fully customizable, community-driven, play-to-earn gaming platform where open-world owners can create their limitless metaverse games or experiences for players or exclusive communities with their worlds. They're currently using Minecraft as its sprawling open-world source ecosystems. So everything that you own in the game and you create, bits and pieces, are NFTs that you own and you sell, essentially, on the marketplace.
Right.
That's the way that they've kind of come out.
I can't remember if it was these guys specifically, but there's a NFT distributor that literally just takes, like, screenshots of Minecraft worlds and puts them up as NFTs. And kind of like lists the different amounts of materials and stuff you can find in that NFT world. And it's a little bit garbo, to be quite honest, but yeah, it's just, anyway. So long story short, basically, these guys, these NFT Worlds guys, they basically said, well, how dare you do this to us? This is our bread and butter. This is how will I feed my children? So anyways, what happened was their world currency tanked, absolutely tanked. So I believe it fell like, it looks like it at least 50%, maybe more.
It's like
more.
A third. Yeah, I think it's like two-thirds or something. Yeah.
Pretty fucked for them. So they basically turned around and went, well, fuck you, Minecraft. We'll make our own Minecraft. Which I just thought was so funny. So we'll make our own Minecraft with blackjack and hookers, you know?
So how are they going to make, like, how could, how's this going to work out, Cap, right?
Dude, there's no way they can fund to make a game that is the same, like, has the same draw as Minecraft. They could try and emulate Minecraft to some degree, but it's just not going to work. Especially as soon as, like, so the thing is, like, I think a lot of these NFT distributors and stuff, that, like, we discussed this last week, they're trying to buy relevancy within relevant markets, right? So obviously Minecraft is hugely relevant. And if people are really trying to distance themselves from NFTs in general, right? So when you have a major player like Minecraft actively go, hey, we're not supporting this shit, so stop it, it obviously affects these guys that are trying to buy that that little bit of relevancy. So it's going to fuck them majorly. So, yeah, in general, they're going, okay, well, we'll make our own game. But the thing is, they have no relevancy to begin with. So who's going to want to buy this game or buy into this game? And I know for a fact there is a couple of developers that are doing NFT games in our local space, and they're doing particularly fucking poorly. And that's Perth-based, and to the point where they're basically having to give the currency away for free because no one's buying in. And yeah, it's just not the play, baby.
Hey, Cap, just on the Minecraft announcement, there was a piece of this that resonated with me as something pretty much you said last week around, we had a, just if you didn't catch last week's episode, we had a bit of a breakdown of NFTs and gaming and pointed out some of the negative bits and pieces to do with why we're not wholly stoked about NFTs in gaming. But this one piece that Mojang came out here, they said NFTs can create models of scarcity and exclusion that conflict with our guidelines and the spirit of Minecraft.
Dude, and we literally said that last week, that yeah. NFTs are like horrifically, they just generate this like idea of scarcity, and they just, all they do is breed this inherent want for more. And the exclusivity kind of sucks, and it kind of goes against the inclusivity model. It's gross. So
you know what's really funny, Kat? This is coming from the New World's founder here as well, and his perspective on it. He's saying blockchain and NFTs are not a threat to Minecraft or the gaming community. It is a threat to closed platforms who have control over every aspect of the game. It's essentially a monopoly of our digital lives and wish to continue extracting every ounce of value out of our time and attention. And I'm just like reading this going, what the fuck? They're trying to sell a unregulated business that revolves around a theoretical price on a product. Scarcity and exclusion. It's like,
how can you possibly say that? Like, you're monopolizing, like basically saying they're monopolizing Minecraft, but yeah, it's our fucking game, you idiot. Like, no shit. Like, we own it. Dickhead.
It's also, the other thing is, though, it's not a monopoly. It's a game amongst many thousands of other games.
Yeah, I mean, there's other games that have tried to do the Minecraft thing and you know, done an okay job at it. But, I mean, the thing is, though, Grizz, it's very difficult to go up against a game like Minecraft that has, you know, potentially one of the biggest superpowers in the world funding it now, being Microsoft. You know, it's just how it be. But yeah, so there you go. More fucking NFT bullshit. Now, in other news, Grizz, more monetization bullshit. So the UK government has said that the games industry must act on loot boxes or face legislation. Saying, hey, we see what you're doing there. Maybe fucking pull up your fucking handbrake, pal, and maybe sort your shit out, or we'll sort it out for you, which yeah. I am a huge fan of.
So, Cap, this is interesting because we've now got a few countries that have different kind of levels of tightening restrictions around loot boxes, but it's now we've got Japan, China, Netherlands, and Belgium, all that have different varying rules of loot boxes. Some are just outright banned, no loot boxes in their games, and some of them allow a certain amount. But on top of this, Cap, like, we have a major issue in Australia. We are the top country with the highest amount of dollars spent per person gambling per year. What do you think the average Australian person per year spends gambling? Like, as in everyone, averaged across the population, what would you say is a reasonable number?
I mean, it's hard for me to say because I don't gamble, but it'd have to be at least $200, surely.
This is going to shock you, mate. This study was done in 2017, a while ago, but it came out to be $958 per head gambled annually. Yeah.
Seriously.
We're the worst in the world, dude. So, like, you know, I think that this will be a step change across the board. And obviously loot boxes is a small part of gambling. There's casinos, everything else. But still, I do think that loot boxes is gambling, mate. Especially, like, you look at the CSGO ones and stuff like that. And,
absolutely they are, dude. Like, I mean, it literally comes back down to you have a base chance at something. Like, and that's how it works. You know, I mean, obviously Blizzard has been in the spotlight in years gone by because of their loot box practices and the shady kind of shit they were doing with percentage chances. And I think in China, like, you can have loot boxes to some degree, but you have to explicitly state all of the percentile chances of each item, whereas they didn't have to do that prior. But I mean, Grizz, so the UK government obviously coming out and saying this isn't the first one. We did sort of briefly discuss a few others, but there has been a few other countries recently. Now, I think the Dutch might have sort of said that they are going to be investigating loot boxes. And I think Germany might have come out and said they're going to be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It's slowly trickling. So I really do hope that Australia tries to do something.
Do you think we'll see it?
Do you know what? Here? I think if there's enough lobbyist action and the government is kind of brought aware of the fact that these things do target minors, which they do. They literally do. So I think once we get that into the spotlight, I think, I think absolutely they'll probably ban this kind of shit because it's gross, you know? Like, I mean, you know, it's like this little dopamine fucking tap that that they want you to click, you know, to get your cool little skin.
Oh, and it does, you know? It gets you. I love it. Yeah. I've got to admit right here, like I know they're fucking terrible, but I tell you what, opening those Dota treasures hoping to get the ultra
good.
Rare, it's like hell yeah.
It was really
You know what's interesting though, Cap, around having kids? My two young ones are right into LOL dolls, mate, which are essentially fucking like kids' loot boxes. That's what they are. So it's like a little package that you open up.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those before,
You've got a chance to get like an ultra rare one with like a golden bow or whatever else, the different bits and pieces. And yeah, what would you say? It's kind of heavily set in our, not community is not the right word, but yeah, I feel like they know what's going to sell money, right? Which is
Think about like the good old days, Grizz, when they used to have the Tarzos or shit that came in. There's always a way to, you know, try and get people to buy shit and give them a random chance at something. And I mean, it works. And I mean, obviously, this is another way of people doing it. I'd say a little bit scarier because, you know, you're kind of inherently trying to get more and more money out of people. And once you, yeah, especially when they're doing really such shady shit where, you know, for example, in games like some of those card games, for example, they kind of trickle freebie stuff, and then all of a sudden you slowly have to start buying more and more shit, and they try and do it through loot boxes and stuff. It's a little bit scary, but yeah, overall, Grizz, I'm glad to see more countries recognizing this. I think I was kind of hoping the UK might be a little bit more hard ass about it, but I mean, I know they are developing what's called a working group, which will be formed to develop industry-led measures to protect players. So whatever that means, I think ultimately it'll probably just mean that they have some guidelines that people need to work by to operate within their country. But yeah, I genuinely do hope that Australia follows suit shortly, which they tend to do with the UK. UK does something and then Australia goes, yeah, we'll do the same thing. Yes, it's good.
It's
yeah.
obviously quite unregulated right now and it needs to be held in a little bit. I mean, we've got the, you know, we had mining oil and gas boom here. We've got cashed up bogans, which is probably why you explained the $1,000 per person. People just go into the casino and blow in a heap. So I don't think a lot of that is probably going to be loot boxes, but still, please help us. Please help
absolutely. Us. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. So there you fucking go. Now, Grizz, Assassin's Creed. You love it? Ask you Creed. Hate it? How do you feel about it?
I think we talked about this in the last one. I only played the first ever Assassin's Creed and I liked I liked the science fiction nature of that, where you were kind of in the modern era and you went back to see your family's memories. And I believe they've taken all that away. So, nah, fuck that game. I'm not interested, man. No, it does look good, dude. Like Black Flag, I think, looked beautiful, the water graphics. But I haven't played an Assassin's Creed game for a long time, Cap. Yeah. So tell me about these leaks, mate. Tell me about those leaks.
Okay, so, look, there's been a bit of a leak come out that, I mean, obviously they're working on another Assassin's Creed game. Big fucking big leak that one is. Obviously they're going to be working on another one. But they kind of seems like they've leaked the logo of this next game, and it looks like the very original Assassin's Creed logo. Ooh, super
really?
Early. Okay. Yeah, and it's in red. It doesn't look like anything kind of in particular. It doesn't really harken to any kind of, I guess, historical kind of iconography or anything like that. Just kind of looks like the Assassin's Creed logo. But people are sort of coming out with these leaks. People were sort of suggesting that they think the next major area is going to be Japan. And so that's going to be kind of, I guess, samurai ninja stuff going down.
So that hasn't been done yet? That hasn't been done? Last one they had was a Valhalla, which was...
I think they've done some Asian-inspired stuff. I can't remember if it was exactly Japan. They might have done Mongolia or something. Memory. I haven't played all of the. It would have been one of the side-scrolling ones because they did have a few side-scrolling ones. But this one looks like it's maybe... Okay, so the first thought I thought when this happened, I thought, okay, they've obviously want to maybe cash in on the Ghost of Tsushima fanfare, perhaps, and maybe kind of go down that road, which... Interestingly, if they are actively working on Ghost of Tsushima 2, maybe these games will come around at about the same time. Ooh. And it'll be a bit of a fight to the death.
I don't know, man. I mean, I haven't played Ghost of Tsushima, but I kind of know that I feel like the downfall, well, not the downfall because the games were successful, but they didn't have the Assassin's Creed games, I feel like, didn't have a a really in-depth loot system, so to speak, Cap, whereas, I don't know, they're almost a bit more linear, whereas Ghost of Tsushima had that open worldy kind of vibe, bits and pieces happening, so we'll see.
Yeah, I reckon just go straight into the Australian Assassin's Creed, mate. That'd be sick.
Holy shit. Why don't we ever get any open world Australian games going through the desert hunting dingoes? And
they should do it out of Kalgoorlie, mate.
Out of Kalgoorlie, yeah. Should.
Kalgoorlie's Creed.
Dude, an Australian survival game would be pretty fun, I reckon. Like, witchity grubs and...
Well, actually, I mean, it's not really a survival... Actually, that would be fucking sweet, but it's not a survival game. They've recently brought out a game called Dinkum, which is like a Stardew Valley clone set in Australia.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, apparently it's doing a real good job. Straightjacket Jim in the chat's talking about a game called Broken Roads. Now, I believe that might be a JRPG kind of style game. I can't quite remember.
Jim knows what's up. I mean,
Deb's mentioning the Mad Max games, which are fucking in Australia, pal. So, but yeah.
Shout out to Game On Oz as well, Cap. Well, we've got Straightjacket Jim in the
absolutely.
Chat.
Absolutely. Yeah, go check those guys out.
Another
wonderful
podcast.
Australian gaming podcast. Yeah, they could check me out. But yeah, so I don't know, Grizz. Do you know what? The big issue I have with Assassin's Creed these days is I feel like, so they pivoted the standard kind of Assassin's Creed formula after the whole Ezio saga, Brotherhood, all that kind of stuff. And then they moved into Origins, which had it was set in Egypt, and that was when they first started to move into the new sort of RPG-ish Assassin's Creed stuff. And I really feel like they lost a lot of the identity of Assassin's Creed. And I mean, the RPG stuff was cool and it was nice, but I just find them so. Just not
they need a little bit
anymore.
More flavor, mate. The Ezio one, I mean, when you look at, I mean, please correct me if I'm wrong, but if you think of the classic Assassin's Creed thing that happens, it's the guy jumping off the massive tall tower into the hay bales below.
Yep.
And that is like what I picture an Assassin's Creed game. And is that Ezio? Is that original Assassin's Creed game?
Yeah, I mean, they've still got elements of that going in the newer ones, but I don't know, man. Just
they need
just
something new, Cap. Give us something new, mate. The Elden Ring of Assassin's Creed games.
Or they just go back and do what they were doing before and just doing cool assassin-y shit, you know, and not maybe leveraging the RPG stuff so heavily. Because I kind of feel like when you have the RPG stuff, it does that kind of, you know, thing of, you know, certain areas have high level enemies and all that kind of stuff, and you're trying to navigate through all that shit. But ultimately, I don't know, it just didn't feel right with Assassin's Creed to me, like, especially having built this this castle on the background of Ezio, and just the way that those games kind of carried on and the game structure, and then you kind of moved into this new, which I think, you know, it's always good to try new things, but I don't know, for me, I just really feel like it didn't quite hit the mark for me. But anyways, I know some people will feel differently, and that's fine. But regardless, Grizz, Assassin's Creed Red, as they're calling it at the moment, potentially leaked. We don't know for sure. But it's going to be in amongst a slew of Ubisoft games that are being delayed, my friend. And they've got a lot of delays, may I say.
What have they kind of said what these delays are being caused by, Cap, or is it just...
I'm guessing just the knock-on effect of COVID, people, you know, working, you know, between office and home, and maybe they've... I don't know, Grizz. I actually feel like Ubisoft are in a really weird spot right now. I really don't feel like they're the company that they used to be when the original Assassin's Creed games were coming out. I just think they're producing some real garbo games.
Did they get bought by someone, Cap, or something? Did they get acquired by someone, or are they just the same old Ubisoft that's been Ubisofting for a while?
Well, they were looking at being bought at Vivendi, but that fell through. But I think they actually are actively looking for someone to buy in at the moment. And I just kind of feel like the passion isn't there at the moment. Like, the last couple of Ghost Recon games, I think, really flopped. I don't know. I just don't know what their kind of navigation's like at the moment. I do honestly feel like they're a befallen kind of studio, and they're not quite pumping out the same quality games as they used to be once upon a time. I think the Assassin's Creed titles kind of have slowly kind of disintegrated over time. The most recent Viking game, I think, did okay, but it wasn't anything kind of special. Oh. It was kind of just more of the same shit.
They had Far Cry 6. I think that was reasonably well received, wasn't it?
You know what? If you asked me what Far Cry 6 looked like right now, I could not even possibly tell you what that game even remotely looked like.
It looked very graphically nice.
Well, what was kind of the shtick? Because most of those Far Cry games tend to be, you know, this one's set in Nepal, and this one's set in America, and this one's so where was that one?
It was the guerrilla tactic weaponry to. I don't know.
No one fucking played it. But yeah, I don't know, Grizz. I just think overall, like Ubisoft, something's kind of, I don't know, not quite working in that in there.
There's a couple of comments in chat there. Far Cry 6 was hype, but it was bland. Far Cry 6 was forgettable, but it wasn't bad. Yeah, that's what we're kind of, I guess that's what resonates with what you're saying about the studio cap. You know, they're bringing these games out still, but they're kind of like, oh, yeah, this is great. Yeah, not, you know what? Valhalla is exactly like that. I remember seeing the trailers for that and bits of gameplay.
Holy shit.
This looks wicked. I can't wait to play this on my new gen console, PS5. When it came out, I kind of saw some of it and
average, very maybe average.
Yeah.
And so maybe it makes me think that maybe internally they're going, fuck, we need to pull our fingers out and sort this studio out. So maybe that's why these games are being delayed. Now, Grizz, they've recently announced that their new Avatar open world game, Frontiers of Pandora, that's going to be getting delayed. And then four other Ubisoft titles were also being delayed. So I believe there's going to be a delay on the next sort of Splinter Cell game that they're working on. There's also an Assassin's Creed title that is also being delayed, which was recently announced as Assassin's Creed Rift. Now, not an awful lot of information about that particular title, but it does seem that that one will be based in potentially ancient Baghdad, so maybe going back to some of the older kind of Assassin's Creed stuff set in that kind of Crusader era. But yeah, so they've got a bunch of games that have been delayed, so maybe this is in response to that kind of thing.
Yeah, very interesting. They've got a lot of IPs, they've got a lot of stuff happening.
Oh, they've got a shitload. I mean, they've even got that Mario Rabbids crossover that's coming out, which I actually think could actually be pretty good, because the original one that they did of that game was actually a bit of a cracker in my opinion. But I mean, yeah, I don't know what's going on with Ubisoft. I really don't. I think they need a cash injection and they need some new blood. Maybe need to just shake the company up a little bit. I think they've obviously had their fair share of you know, shady shit go down in that company as well, with you know, sexual abuse allegations that have happened there, as well as some other kind of employment based shit that had kind of happened there as well. So yeah, they've got some cleaning up house to do. So yeah, anyways, I suppose we'll see what fucking happens there. All right, now Grizz.
Yeah, mate,
I think it's time for the poll, mate.
It's time for the poll.
Play the poll horn.
Guys, if you have not voted on the poll, you've got like 1 second before I read the results out, or Cap reads
the
results.
No, well, the poll's ended. You can't. Yeah, it's all over, Red Rover.
The poll has fucking ended.
So okay. we 100% forgot to do the poll this week, and it was like Sunday, and I was like, shit, we've got to do the poll. And then it just didn't get done. Because we're all too busy.
Busy boys.
Well, Grizz, do you want to talk us through the poll that you managed to get together? Okay. You know, on Sunday.
So we forgot the poll this week. Who do we blame? Cap, Grizz, or Pav?
Yep.
What are the results? You want to read the results? You want me to read the results, Capo?
I'll let you read the results, mate.
Okay. All right. So you're the lowest, Cap. In fact, I just want to point this out. After I think a good 15 votes on the poll, you had 0%.
So you actually had to put the word out on Twitter to get people to vote for me. That's how you managed to get people to vote for me, just FYI. So I was looking fucking awesome for ages until Grizz was like, guys, someone please vote for this guy.
What the fuck is
basically, I just want to say, I basically had zero votes. All right, just getting that. So, yeah.
Pavitt, the next one in line with 33% of the vote, and then apparently I'm the one to blame for not getting the poll out, which kind of makes sense, Cap. I mean, I'm the most unorganized one of the out of the three of us, let's be honest.
So. Absolutely, mate. But no, we're all equally to blame, maybe a little bit more you, but that's okay. But yeah, so that was the poll. So now if you want to vote in next week's poll, assuming that we get one up next week, you can do so by going and following us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/OGRshow. Follow us on Twitter, and then when we post our little Polarino, you can go and vote on the Polarino. What will it be about? Who knows? It all depends on what happens during the week. So, you know, it's crazy. You know, it's crazy life out here. We live life on the edge. We normally go, oh, fuck, it's Saturday at 5 p.m. What were we doing for the poll, guys?
Fuck. Well, we should replay. You know, it's good. We'll figure it out. I'm sure we'll remember next week. Been a busy time.
We'll get our stride going. Don't you worry about it.
This time of the year sucks in general, I feel like, Cap. Everyone's sorting.
Oh, it's hard, mate. Shit's tough. Shit's tough, sir. But yeah, so there you go. Now, Grizz, let's pump into the quickfire round, mate. Got a few little bits and pieces that we wanted to kind of just quickly discuss. Lots of stuff has actually happened this week. Now, Grizz, the first thing for the quickfire round, God of War Ragnarok website details have been updated. So they've added a little bit more information about the storyline that we're going to be kind of undertaking and some extra screenshots. Looks like there's going to be Freya's going to be stoked with us. She's back, yeah. Like there's an image of her fighting Kratos and Atreya.
Kazi liked Freya. He thought she was real hot, but dirty hot.
Mm. Oh, really? Hell yeah. Yeah. He's like a wildling dude. Hell yeah.
Yeah, like a wildling,
But yeah, so the Fimbulwinter is well underway. Kratos and Atreus must journey to each of the nine realms in search of answers as Asgardian forces prepare for a prophesied battle that will end the world. Along the way, they will explore stunning mythical landscapes and face fearsome enemies in the form of Norse gods and monsters. The threat of Ragnarok is between their own safety and the safety of the realms. And then they go on to say, a future unwritten. Atreus seeks knowledge to help him understand the prophecy of Loki and establish his role in Ragnarok. Kratos must decide whether he will be chained by the fear of repeating his mistakes or break free of his past to be the father Atreus needs.
Now, Loki is the god. What is he the god of?
Mischief.
Mischief, yeah, okay. Cool, so we're going to see a bit more character development in old Atreus, mate. Hey, Cap. Couple of things I noticed
something else
on this. Yeah. The first one is the fucking crazy price tag for the PS5 game. Maybe this is normal and I'm just not used to it, but it's 125 clams, mate.
125?
125 clams. That's a lot.
That inflation is hitting fucking different at the moment, isn't it? Jesus Christ. Okay. I swear games aren't that expensive. That's a bit out of control.
I think Returnal was about that price, wasn't it? When it was released, over $100.
I think, yeah, maybe PS5 games just are that. But I remember vaguely like PS4 games being $100 and being like, holy shit, we've hit $100 for game.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of fucking nutty. But
four games and you've bought yourself a PS4 console pretty much. The other thing that I noticed, Cap, that I think last time we talked about God of War, all the footage and bits and pieces we saw was set in the ice. With a Draugr, where I feel like we're now seeing some other environments in this.
Yeah, that must be that Nine Realms thing that they're talking about, Grizz, the description. Definitely looks like they've got some kind of cityscape environments and some kind of, I don't know, Mediterranean-y almost looking climactic regions. But yeah, it doesn't look like they're just going to old cold freaking Midgar or whatever it was called. But yeah, so there you go. Pretty cool. Lots of shit going down. Now, Grizz, did you ever play Papers, Please?
I watched Barbara's King play it a lot. And yeah, super cool game, right?
Yeah, cool indie game. You basically play a border control guard and you're trying to like figure out who like people who are immigrating across into your country who are spies and
So you're like looking at their passport picture and seeing whether it matches up.
Wait a second, that's not you, you bastard.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's been out for a while. I can't remember exactly how long, but looks like they're basically re-releasing the game for mobile. And this little screenshot they've shown of the game looks really rad. I think, it's definitely going to suit the kind of standard display of a mobile phone, just making it fit nicely within that region. And looks also like they're also getting a console release for next-gen stuff, I guess, 2031.
Is it on Switch? Is it on Switch, Cap, or not?
I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe. Might be. I'm not too sure. But great game. I haven't played it, but I've watched it before as well. I think because I watched so much of it, I kind of felt I didn't need to play it.
Me too. Yeah.
So for those of you who want to play a little indie game about a border control guard, this game is for you and it is coming to your phone.
I actually watched Tone Honey play this on her stream.
Oh, did you?
It was a bit of a laugh. So yeah, looks good. Looks good.
Freaking excellent. Very cool game. All right, Grizz. Now next one off the rank. So Valve has come forward and said for our friends in midst of a heat wave, so obviously pointing out what's been happening in the UK recently where they've had, 40-odd degree temperatures in Celsius, that is, which is huge for them. A quick note about the Steam Deck in high temperatures. The Steam Deck performs at its best in ambient temperatures between 0 and 35 degrees Celsius. If the temperature gets higher than this, the Steam Deck may start to throttle performance to protect itself. Now, Grizz, when I read this, I went, that's why it's never going to be put in Australia. That makes fucking sense. Because you'd be able to play it for 2 months of the year and that'd be fucking it.
Honestly, mate, it's exactly right. You're fucking right. We're going to have to buy like a dedicated water cooler for this thing. And have like a fucking, I don't know. Because, dude, like what is that? What are our ambient temperatures here in summer? It's like we get
we have plenty of days over 35 degrees Celsius.
So you can't go on holiday to Australia and bring your Steam Deck. Sorry, guys. Just not going to happen.
Yeah, leave it at home. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. And it makes so much sense as to why the Steam Deck is not available in Australia just yet. And, well, maybe it won't be available in Australia. So who fucking knows? So I just thought that was quite hilarious. But obviously, not hilarious that people are going through heat waves and that the fact that our climate is slowly degenerating and that our children may never be able to live in a world that has a reasonable climate. But hilarious that the Steam Deck can't operate properly over 35 degrees. So there you go. Anyways, moving along, Grizz. Mortal Kombat movie. There's a sequel coming.
Baby.
They've announced it. What was it? Mortal Kombat! Hell yeah.
Such a good movie.
Yeah, great.
There hasn't been another sequel since that real early one, has there?
This is the this is the sequel to the more recent one that was in 2021.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
Which tells the story of young Cole, a character not found within the game franchise, who accidentally becomes a part of the Mortal Kombat tournament, where your favorites, Sonya Blade, Liu Kang, Kano, fight to protect the Earth Realm from the Outworld invasion. So they did do a kind of reboot kind of thing.
I don't know if I watched that, man, honestly.
No, I didn't either. I don't know how well it did. I think it was okay. I think it did all right. I don't know how it went on Rotten Tomatoes or anything like that, but...
Dude, the original, I literally have... Oh, you know what? I have seen that. Yeah, look, it got a 6.1 out of 10. Like, not terrible, but I remember the original one was fantastic. Maybe it's a bit of nostalgia.
Oh, dude,
the original
one's amazing. Yeah. So good. What classic fucking movies.
You saw Goro rip that dude's arms off and stuff.
And then she kicks him in the nuts. Great movie. So now, Grizz, obviously that's exciting and all, but I just remembered that we've also got that Dungeons & Dragons movie that got announced as well.
Oh, yeah, dude, that looks really good. You know what? You're kind of talking about this. I didn't actually watch this until after you'd posted, probably about a day after it, but... Like you kind of said in the Dad Bod Decelerator chat, they really play off the tropes of a Dungeons and Dragons party.
It's been played by us, you know what I mean? And it's just the humor in it was, I thought, was really on point for what that that movie looks like it is. Like, it definitely looks like it's sort of a lot of tongue-in-cheek kind of fantasy stuff going on, but I think they do a really good job of it kind of just, you know, just the way that they describe the storyline in that trailer for that new D&D movie. It really did feel like a classic, like, D&D campaign storyline. Yeah. Like, yeah. I just thought it was really cool. So that looks really good as well. So a couple of interesting movies coming our way. I mean, I don't normally watch an awful lot of TV these days, to be quite honest, Chris. I normally am just playing video games. So I'm definitely going to watch that D&D movie, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'll probably check out Mortal Kombat, maybe.
Yep. So there you go. All right, now, Grizz, Stray has been out. Now, I'll probably try and play this week and give you guys my thoughts on it next week, but looks like it's reviewing pretty well. Open Critic, 84 average, 92% of people recommend. But yeah, it's doing a pretty fucking decent job. It's got a pretty good rating.
Getting lots of hype across Twitter and bits and pieces. I mean, I think the biggest thing that I have seen is people just love the way the cats interact and are animated.
Dude, so you know what the best part of that the game is?
What's that?
There's a meow button.
Yeah.
There's a dedicated meow button, which I just thought was fucking great.
I've seen this meme on Twitter. It was like, men only want one thing, and it's a picture of Stray with a meow button. With like
meow button.
Space to meow.
They're not wrong.
Fucking cool.
So look, I'm going to try and give this game a crack this week and kind of give you guys my thoughts on it. I'll probably do my usual of not getting anywhere near the end of the game, but I'll give it a fair whack.
Give him a quick little snippet of what the game's about. I believe it's like a post-apocalyptic world where it's kind cats of and robots.
Almost cyberpunk-y.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like Neo Japan kind of shit going on, and you're kind of this cat with a backpack on running around doing platformy shit so you literally play a cat, like a not an anthropomorphic, you know, feline like Skyrim character. It's like an actual cat. So pretty fucking cool. Now, Grizz, one cool thing that's come out is compiling cats watching their people play Stray. So it's just all these videos of cats watching the cat from Stray and like just trying to interact with these cats. It's really cute.
I've seen this one, man, where like this cat was like sitting there watching the screen for a while, and then he like goes to the side of the TV and is like looking behind the TV. He wants to just get involved and go play with these other cats that are kind of running around. Super cute, man.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. It's super wholesome. So if you're listening from home and you're wondering what that Twitter account is, it is @CatsWatchStray. So go and check that out. I'm just watching a few on here now. It's quite hilarious. But so there you go. Now, Grizz, I don't know how they keep fucking doing it, but they keep fucking doing it. No Man's Sky has released another fucking update. Can you believe it?
Value for money town, Cap, No Man's Sky.
Dude, these guys just are like just really trying to do their best at fucking, you know, letting you know that they're sorry about the initial release of this game. Holy fuck. And wow, they have done a good job.
I wonder if they're going to eventually create a new IP in it, just be absolutely amazing from all the shit.
Well, I mean, didn't they announce they've got another game on the table?
I've got no idea. Potentially.
Hello, games. I have vaguely remember they maybe had something else coming. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyways, regardless, Grizz, they've announced another update coming to No Man's Sky called No Man's Sky Endurance. So you have a capital ship that you can kind of get, I guess, in the game. Again, look, I've not played this far into the game, but you can get a capital ship that literally looks pretty close to a Star Trek Enterprise style ship. Okay. Now, you can use that big capital ship as your base of operations rather than actually building on a planet now, and fly it through space and stuff. And you can have, by the looks of things, you can kind of park all your freighters and stuff on there. You've got all these dynamic crew members that come in and hang out on your ship and, I guess, trade and do all kinds of bits and pieces. you can build, and they're calling it agricultural modules, where you basically can build farms within the ship to sort of do bits and pieces. But yeah, it basically becomes your new hub if you want to kind of persist within space rather than on a planet.
Very cool. Okay, that's cool. I like that.
Yep. So they've done a bunch. They've done that, and then they've also added some other shit. Like there's now you can traverse space via black holes, which is kind of cool. They've done a bunch of exterior bits and pieces with building, and they've also added some quality of life stuff to just the idea, just the building in general. So visual variants of base parts can now be placed manually, overriding their automatic contextual placement. Yeah, they've just done a bunch of shit. New
they
freighters.
Bang about quick, eh? Cap far out, mate. They just
they
keep
do,
pumping
man.
Them out.
They do. And now players may now encounter organic frigates as they explore deep space. Build your own fleet of these majestic beings, but be prepared for anomalous results when deploying them on fleet missions. So, yeah, I mean, it's they're doing some fucking cool shit, dude. Like, there's a lot of stuff in this what do you call it? This blog post about what they've done. So they're doing all kinds of stuff, man. They're really pumping up the game in a big way, which I think is very cool. So yeah. Anyways, moving along, Grizz. The other one is now. Can you remember that multi versus game? That's kind of like the Super Smash Brothers game, but set in the Warner Brothers universe, which literally includes fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Taz the Tasmanian Tiger, Superman, just all kinds of random characters, Shaggy, Scooby-Doo. Now, they've announced a new character, Grizz.
Mm-hmm.
It's LeBron.
What?
Dude, it is the most... Well, okay. So what's the deal here? Obviously, LeBron is in the new Space Jam movie, which is a Warner Brothers franchise. And so... Yeah. Anyways, I just thought this was insane when they announced. I was just like, "What the fuck planet am I living on?" LeBron is like a fighting character in some weird fucking Smash Brothers fucking.
Apparently,
mock-up.
The multiverse is supposed to be pretty good. Cap, hey? People.
Yeah. So I think it's in. Yeah, I think it's kind of out-ish now, or it's in beta at the moment, and. Yeah, people are saying it's pretty good. I think there's some issues with balance. I believe Taz the Tasmanian Devil is like out of control, literally nuts, out of control.
Spinning around. That's what he does, mate. He's always out of control.
Yeah, he is fucking he's fucking spinning to win, baby. But yeah, so there you go. LeBron coming to multiverses. So if that's up your alley, fucking exciting. Now, there is one fucking cool thing that I saw. John Romero. You know that name?
No idea. Who's that?
John Romero is a legendary game developer. He originally worked on Quake and Doom. And so he is old blood fucking real deal shit fucking game designer, programmer, all of the above. Now, he is now hiring for an all new FPS out of his own studio. So pretty cool. Does he still have the chops to produce a fucking legendary game of all time? Let's find out.
I feel like we've seen a couple of throwbacks recently, Cap, and I can't even name what they are, but I swear in that
there's been a bunch of them.
Has there? Yeah, there's been a bunch of like almost Doom-likes and things.
There was that Warhammer one that's coming out that is like a Doom-like.
That's right.
As well.
Yeah. Good market. Could you imagine if a new kind of Doom like came out now? Give it mouse look, maybe, and would be cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, could be very rad. Well, it'll be interesting to see what John Romero is working on. I dare say he's probably going to go for something maybe a little bit more probably modern day, maybe a little less olden day. But, I guess we'll see what he's got in store, what he's got in the oven. Now, Grizz, that's pretty much everything, but I felt bad because we hadn't spoken about Elden Ring enough, so I just wanted to chuck a real quick one in there. They're working on an Elden Ring tabletop role-playing game.
Have you pre-ordered this already, Cap, or what, mate?
No, because it looks like it's only coming to Japan.
What?
But it might. I'm sure it'll get translated.
The figurine's going to melt or something here in Australia, Cap? Is that what you're telling me, mate, or what?
Yeah, the figurines can only withstand temperatures of 0 to 35 degrees. No, I think it'll just be written in Japanese. And mate, can you speak Japanese?
No, I can't.
Exactly.
Surely,
mate, all right?
Someone can translate that pretty quick, mate. Google Translate's a pretty good tool.
Pretty good these days. Not bad. Well, there you go. Anyway, so that's cool, coming though. As well. So I think it's apparently early spring 2023 in Japan. So maybe later on in the year for, Western countries. But time will tell, Grizz.
Time will tell, my good friends. Yep.
Right. Well, that pretty much brings us to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for being here. We bloody appreciate you as always. We hope you've enjoyed this particular episode and this particular session. Now, as always, before we go any further, I just want to say, if you could go and tell one person about this podcast, please do so. We would love to grow this podcast further and get more ears on this bad boy. So if you got someone that you're mates with and you think they might enjoy a little bit of Aussie banter, they have a bit of a commute or, just want to listen to something whilst they're mowing the lawn, I can tell them about OGR, mate. It'll be good for them. We'd appreciate it. Now, as always, again, thank you so much to our Patreons. You know who you are. Sukai, Moosey, Ho and Honey, KJ Rudd, Sergeant Paul, bloody appreciate you all. Thank you so much for your continued support financially. It helps out a lot. If you would like to become a Patreon, just go and check out the description in this podcast and or on Twitch. You'll find all of our bits and pieces in our link tree, including our Twitter, which you can go and follow. Go and check that out if you want to vote poll every week. And our Discord, if you want to go on, sort of say g'day, come interact with us. Maybe you want to kind of tell us something about something. I don't know. You can do whatever you like. That's Discord. For the most part, just don't do anything rude or we'll fucking delete it. Now, the only last thing is, if you guys have any questions for us or things like gaming-related stuff that you want us to maybe hash out in episodes to come, click us an email. I think the email's just oceanicgamingradio@gmail.com. So, obviously I'm sure someone in here will send some stupid shit. We're probably not going to read that out. But, if you actually have some actual gaming-related questions you want us to have a bit of a chat about, I can send it to us. We'd love to talk about it and maybe have a bit of an email segment every couple of weeks once we get a few emails under our belts and we can. You want to talk about Grizz?
No, mate. Loving life. Loving the podcast. Thanks for continuing to support us.
Yep.
That's it. Yeah.
We appreciate you. I think that's about it for me. I think Pab's all good as well. As always, thank you so much for being here and we'll catch you next week on the Oceanic Gaming Radio Podcast.
See you, folks.
Bye for now.
Hell yeah, baby.
Hell yeah.